Svadatthaya.
Svadatthaya.
Given by you.
Given by you.
Vayunaya.
Vayunaya.
By knowledge.
By knowledge.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Achashta.
Achashta.
Could see.
Could see.
Vishvam.
Vishvam.
Whole universe. Sapta prabuddha, a man rising from sleep. Eva, like. Nata, oh my Lord. Bhavat prapannaha, Lord Brahma, who was surrendered unto you. Tasya, his. Apavagya, of persons desiring liberation. Sharanam, the shelter. Tava, your. Padamulam, lotus feet. Vismaryate, can be forgotten. Kritavida, by a learned person. Katam, how? Artabandho, O friend of the distressed. Translation, this is Dhruva Maharaj continuing his prayers to the Lord. O my master, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. In the beginning, you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe. Just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties, you are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are distressed. How, therefore, can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? Please repeat, O my Master, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. In the beginning you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe. Just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties, you are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation. And you are the friend of all who are distressed. How, therefore, can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? Srila Prabhupada's purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be forgotten, even for a moment, by his surrendered devotees. The devotee understands that the Lord's causeless mercy is beyond his estimation. He cannot know how much he is benefited by the grace of the Lord. The more a devotee engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the more encouragement is supplied by the energy of the Lord. I'll read that again. The more a devotee engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the more encouragement is supplied by the energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that to those who are constantly engaged in devotional service with love and affection, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives intelligence from within. And thus they make further progress. They may make further progress, meaning able. And thus they may make further progress. Being so encouraged, the devotee can never forget at any moment the personality of Godhead. He always feels obliged to him for having achieved increased power in devotional service by his grace. I'll read that again. He always feels obliged, grateful, He always feels obliged to him for having achieved increased power in devotional service by his grace. Saintly persons like Sanat, Sanatan, and Lord Brahma were able to see the entire universe by the mercy of the Lord, through knowledge of the Lord. The example is given that a person may apparently abstain from sleep all day, but as long as he is not spiritually enlightened, he is actually sleeping. He may sleep at night and perform his duties in the daytime, but as long as he does not come to the platform of working in spiritual enlightenment, he is considered to be always sleeping. A devotee, therefore, never forgets the benefit derived from the Lord. The Lord is addressed here as Artabandhu, which means, quote, friend of the distressed. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births of executing severe austerities in search of knowledge, one comes to the point of real knowledge and becomes wise. Becomes wise when one surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadi philosopher who does not surrender unto the Supreme Person is understood to be lacking in real knowledge. The devotee in perfect knowledge cannot forget his obligation to the Lord at any moment. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Nadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Atapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tvadattaya vanayudena machashta vishvam supta prabuddha ivanata bhavad prapannaha tasya pavargya shalanam tabapada mulam bismaryate kritavida katamarta bandho. In February 1975, in Mexico City, a lady Sanskrit professor asked Srila Prabhupada, if you were an aficionado of Prabhupada's tapes and lectures, a rather famous question, or maybe infamous. Swamiji, why is there anything? Remember that? Why is there anything? And Prabhupada said, eh? Why is there anything? And then, as Prabhupada often would do, you know, in judo, jiu-jitsu, you use the energy of the person against him, right? So Prabhupada did this all the time. He had this linguistic judo. And so he said, what do you mean by anything? There are so many things, Prabhupada said. There's the flower garland, there's the table, there's the book. So many things, so it's all part of anything. So what do you mean by anything? So then a friend of hers chimed in. Well, Leibniz says this, and Nietzsche says that. And this is what modern philosophy is, right? It's just whoever can juggle the best words wins. That's what they call philosophy in modern times. Word jugglery, literally, word jugglery. So finally, Prabhupada was very merciful to them, put them out of their misery, or he tried to. And he said, your question should be, where from these things coming? Where does everything come from? Better you ask, where does everything come from? Everything's already here. So if you really want to know why is there anything, then you should ask, where does everything come from? But this is typical of the modern mind, that we start with ourselves, and then we think we're the lords of all we survey, and then we say, why is there anything? But better we ask, where does everything come from? We're obviously not the source, although people juggle words so much they even convince themselves that, yes, I am the source. Yeah. And then Prabhupada says, the source has to go to the dentist to fix his toothache. He's such a source, he can't even control his tooth pain. So Prabhupada said, yes, where from these things are coming? And then he quotes, what did he quote? Anybody guess what he quoted? Well, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. In the Vedanta Sutra it is said. That's the first. And then where does everything come from? The absolute truth is that from which or that from whom everything emanates. So that was like, they couldn't handle it, you know. But why is there anything? So they went on back and forth, you know, juggling words. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada again tried to put them out of their misery by saying, what is the purpose? In other words, he was paraphrasing their question. What is the purpose? Anything? The purpose is ananda, pleasure. Ananda mayo vyasa. So, this is what happens if we simply indulge in what we know as mental speculation. There's a nice line in the fourth, later on in this canto, in the 25th chapter, when we hear the chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. So there's a very nice couple of lines in a purport. I mean, there's so many gems, but this jumped out at me in this context of mental speculation and philosophical speculation. Prabhupada writes, a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. So when we accept Shastra and Guru and Sadhu, it doesn't mean we stop thinking. It means our thinking is actually useful now because it's connected to the source. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. And the next follow-up sentence is, the non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. So Prabhupada gave the example, if you want to know what the taste of water is, you can taste it and then speculate what that is. And without reference to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the conclusion is always something impersonal or void. But the devotee, what he does is, he takes Krishna's words. Rasa aham, apsu, I am the taste of water. I am the taste of water. And then he applies his thinking power to appreciating how Krishna is the taste of water. That's philosophical speculation, and that's very much required. We very much have to think over what Krishna is saying. So in these prayers by Dhruva Maharaj, we have perfect examples of somebody who's, to use a phrase from a question yesterday, or 2 days ago, independently thoughtful. Dhruva Maharaj is being very independently thoughtful by being A, awake, and B, appreciative. Here's what he says again. Oh, my master. Well, you don't have to pray. Sorry. Oh, my master, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. You're such a devotee. Oh, my master. In the beginning, you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe, just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duty. So Dhruva is like Brahma, because in the beginning, as we hear, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Bhuhyanti Yatsuraya. So in the beginning, Krishna, he enlightened Brahma because he was pleased. He was pleased with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma woke up. We've all had the experience. We all, you know, as above, so below. So we all have a little reflection of this, especially when we travel. We wake up and we don't know where we are. It's pretty scary, you know? And then finally, when we think, okay, I know. So Lord Brahma, can you imagine waking up? He doesn't know where he is. It's pitch black. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, but he happens to be the most pious living being in the universe because he won. There's only one person there. But he was chosen by Krishna to be Lord Brahma. And he's pious. He's a good soul. So he knows immediately that he's not all it. He's not the source. He's not the center. So he starts meditating. Right? And he hears finally, ta pa. So he engages in severe meditation for 1,000 celestial years on those words, because life in this place, in this jagat, is meant for austerity. It's meant for taking a little trouble to understand who's who, what's what, who am I, what's going on, is there a God, like that. So Krishna is so pleased that he revealed everything to Lord Brahma. And this is the fruit of being philosophical and being theistic, being God-centered. So, what else did I write down? So Dhruva was enlivened and inspired by the touch of the Lord's conch. So he starts his prayers referring to Brahma. Brahma also, it's a pastime, but he's, as we know, he stole all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys. And then he got his comeuppance. He realized, oh no, this cowherd boy is actually the Supreme Absolute Truth. And then, for his further penance, he composed beautiful prayers. The whole 14th chapter of the Dashama Skanda, the 10th canto, is Lord Brahma's prayers. And Srila Prabhupada would quote those prayers a lot, especially a few. And especially from the third prayer, he would quote one line, but I'll just say the verse. Same meter too. Jnani prayasa mudapasti namanta evam jivanti sanmukuritam bhavadiya vartam. And then Prabhupada loved this line. Stane stitak shruti gatam tanuvan manubhir ye prayaso jita jito pyasitai strilokyam. Let's hear how Prabhupada rendered that in English. 10.14.3. Those who, this is Lord Brahma praying, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, that's the line Prabhupada liked, just stay where you are, where you are, but do this. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to those narrations. which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So that's Brahma, after he, again in the pastime, became purified, and then he spoke these beautiful prayers. We just have to give up the self-centered thought process, and we have to make our thought processes God-centered. So what happens when we do that? The big... Prabhupada says in the purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that to those who are constantly engaged in devotional service with love and affection, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives intelligence from within, and thus they may make further progress. So where is Prabhupada referring to in Gita? Who knows that verse? Yes. Very good. Tesham tati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhijogam tam yinamam upayanti te. This is the third chapter sloki. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And in the last paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes rather famously, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. Sound familiar? But if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is, and this is how you get that mercy. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. Prabhupada always translated bhakti in an active way, devotional service. He didn't just say love, he said devotional service. Because if I love you, I'm going to try to do something for you, right? It's not just by the lip, it's by the limbs and everything. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. One time, some devotee asked my late famous godbrother Jayananda Prabhu, how you make progress in devotional service? And so Jayananda answered, I don't know, I'm just too busy. There's a hint. In the verse, Dhruva Maharaj ends his prayer by saying, how therefore can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? And Prabhupada uses that word forget at the end of each paragraph. He says, a devotee therefore never forgets the benefit derived from the Lord. And then finally he says, the devotee in perfect knowledge cannot forget his obligation to the Lord at any moment. This constant remembrance and never forgetting, it comes from a certain kind of attitude, which we say in English is gratitude. Gratitude is the attitude. So this is a, as we know, a legitimate process in devotional service. We call it smaranam, remembering. So in Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada elaborates further on this whole process of remembrance. There's a whole chapter. It's called Techniques of Hearing and Remembering. Remembrance. So I'm going to read a little. Prabhupada's telling, and then he shows. Like there's a famous American writer, Mark Twain. So he says, if you want to know how to write, don't tell, show. Don't tell me that this old lady is a screaming old lady. Just put her on the stage and let her scream. So, first, Prabhupada tells us about remembrance and then he shows it. Remembrance, some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. So mature devotees always remembering Krishna. About this remembrance, there is a nice statement in the Vishnu Purana where it is said, simply by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities become eligible for all kinds of auspiciousness. Therefore, let me always remember the Lord, who is unborn and eternal. I don't know about you, but when I'm chanting japa, and then my mind wanders, and it sometimes wanders into a real hellish place, and then all of a sudden I hear the mantra again. It's like, oh, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is some little glimpse of that. In the Padma Purana, the same remembrance is explained as follows. Quote, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all sinful reactions. And in the next section, Srila Prabhupada tells a story, which is kind of famous, but I love the story. It's the story of the Brahmin in South India, a very poor Brahmin, and he didn't have much, but he really loved to hear about the Lord from authorized sources. He was that kind of devotee who worshipped hearing about Krishna from the pure devotees. So, and then it says here, where is it? At one such meeting, he was in a meeting, he was at some katha. At one such meeting, while he was very faithfully hearing about Vaishnava activities, he was informed that these activities can be performed even by meditation. So because he had hardly anything, he decided he would do this. He would take everything he had, but he wanted to do more, so he did it by dhyan, by meditation. And so we know, but I love this, so I'm just going to read it. Okay. One day, the Brahmin imagined in his meditations that he had prepared some sweet rice with milk and sugar and offered the preparation to the deity. However, he was not very satisfied with the offering because the sweet rice had been prepared recently and it was still very hot. So this is quite a meditation. He's there. It's really happening. He's making an offering, but he's not satisfied because it's too hot. And then parenthesis, Prabhupada says, here's a little tip for the cooks, I guess. Parenthesis, this preparation, sweet rice, should not be taken hot. The cooler the sweet rice, the better its taste. At New Vrindavan years ago, sometimes Radhanath Swami and I, sometimes his devotee Ambarish Prabhu, another Ambarish, we'd milk the cows on Saturday evening. And then we'd take one full milk can. You know these big milk cans? They're pretty big. They're pretty heavy. So we'd take both of us, one on each handle, and we'd carry it up to the top of the hill, of the slope, above Bahulaban. And we'd start cooking 40 gallons of sweet rice in a big pot, in a big wok. And then, you know, this went on for hours because we did it really slowly and carefully and we wanted to have just the right. And so, and then around midnight, we add the sugar and the cardamom, and then finally it was just the right thickness. But then it was hot, and this was for the Sunday feast. So what to do? And we didn't have any refrigeration in 1972 or 3. So we poured it back into the milk jug. It's cooked down now. It's cooked down considerably, but it's just the right sweetness and thickness and spice. And we carry it down to the spring where we bathe also. Infamous spring. It was like a plank. This is the bathing ghat was a plank. You maybe you've heard about this. Anyway, we'd find a spot, we'd bury the milk can up to its neck. So it would cover the sweet rice inside. So by the next day, this is about 1 in the morning, so by the next day around 4 p.m., it was pretty chilly. And it was superb.
magnifique. Because
it was offered to Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So because the sweet rice had been prepared by the Brahman very recently, he wanted to touch it so that he could know whether it was fit for eating by the Lord. As soon as he touched the sweet rice pot with his finger, he immediately was burnt by the heat of the pot. In this way, his meditation broke. Listen to this. There's an echo from the purport here. It says, the more a devotee engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the more encouragement is supplied by the energy of the Lord, like Bhakti Vijayapurna Swami was talking. That Krishna's energy, it converts. It's no longer acting materially, it's acting spiritually. So his meditation was so intense, this Brahman, the Lord reciprocated, and he actually had a manifestation on his finger, a burnt finger. Like Jesus Christ also had stigmata. It's that relationship of the Lord can manifest physically. So, now when he looked at his finger, he saw that it was burnt. And he was wondering in astonishment how this could have happened. Because he was simply meditating on touching the hot sweet rice. He never thought that his finger would actually become burnt, but his meditation was so real, the Lord was taking it very seriously and supplying, he was changing his energy. And so he did that. So this is what happened. So while he was thinking like this, in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, seated with the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, began to smile humorously. On seeing this smiling of the Lord, all the goddesses of fortune attending the Lord became very curious and asked Lord Narayan why he was smiling. The Lord, however, did not reply to their inquisitiveness. He didn't answer them, but he answered them like, here's what he did. He didn't answer them by words, but he did this. But instead, immediately sent for the Brahman. An airplane sent from Vaikuntha immediately brought the Brahman into Lord Narayan's presence. When the Brahman was thus present before the Lord and the goddess of fortune, the goddesses of fortune, the Lord explained the whole story. So then he told everybody what happened. He was meditating down on earth. The Brahman was then fortunate enough to get an eternal place in Vaikuntha in the association of the Lord and his Lakshmis. This shows how the Lord is all-pervading in spite of his being locally situated in his abode. Goloke eva nivesat yakilatma bhuta. Although the Lord was present in Vaikuntha, he was present also in the heart of the Brahman when he was meditating on the worshipping process. Thus we can understand that things offered by the devotees, even in meditation, are accepted by the Lord, and they help one achieve the desired result. Right. So, this is what happens when our devotional service matures. And I hear stories about mature devotees and things like this happen to them. So, you can ask them about things like that. Okay, I'm going to read the verse again. If you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. O my Master, says Dhruva, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. In the beginning you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe, just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties. You are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are distressed. How, therefore, can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? Prabhu. But I don't speak Italian.
Hare Krishna.
So, the living entity is one parcel of Lord Krishna. No,
it's one
small parcel of Lord Krishna. Yeah. No, is a spiritual soul is coming from the body of Lord Krishna. Is correct? No?
It's coming from the jyoti.
Yes. Okay. So therefore, okay, I know from the shastra that 3/4 are going directly to spiritual world, and 1/4 is in the material world, no? But still,
I'd like to know more deeply.
How is it possible that coming out from the body of Lord Sri Krishna, it is supposed to be perfect, no? With sufficient knowledge about the source. So how I cannot very much understand how it's possible to fall down and desire to go in the material world.
You asked the question, which is answered by Krishna and confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. To be fair to Prabhu's question, different acharyas have different angles of vision on this question. How? The way Srila Prabhupada would handle the question was he would always just do his judo thing. He would turn it back and say, better you ask, how can I get back? In other words, he was asking us to admit, first of all, that we did fall. Because sometimes the question behind that question is, did I really fall? Am I really responsible? Itcha dvesha sambuddhena. You know this word? Vandva mohena bharata sabbhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. O sign of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. But your question still stands. How can someone so perfect be overcome by the dualities of desire and hate? Well, I'm going to refer you to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 15, purport. If you want to know how we fell, I mean, individually, I don't know what you did. I don't know what I did, but we did it. We done did it. Okay, so listen to this. This is in the Prabhupada's purport to where Krishna's completely abdicating all responsibility for our being here. And it's not that Krishna wants us in the prison, right? Krishna says, speaking of himself in the third person, nor does the Supreme Lord, he's the Supreme, he doesn't say he is, but because it's only the fifth chapter, nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Krishna's not responsible for the good and bad we do here. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. I should actually read the whole purport, but I don't want to read the whole purport because it's kind of long. But at the end, here's how Prabhupada sums it up. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial, that means we can't remember, it's beyond memory, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is, as you say, constitutionally, as you say, eternal, blissful, and cognizant, due to the littleness, there's the operative word, due to the littleness, kishagrashatabhagyasya, we're 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. Because we're so tiny, because we're tatastha shakti, we are prone, we have the capacity to forget and be foolish. And listen to this, and then Prabhupada says, this is like adding insult to injury. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. And then Prabhupada ends with a Vedic paradox. The Vedanta Sutras 2.1.34 also confirm this. Vaishyam dana grinhyena sa pikshat pikshat vatata hidarshyati. Quote, the Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. So, I'll tell you a little story. Oh my gosh, it's late. It's today in Bhakti Bhagavat class, I'm having the students this week give Bhagavatam class in the class. So this is poetic justice that I have to give class. Or I have the privilege of giving class. Okay, so if you have to, please go to your more important services. In 1972, as I said, the different acharyas see this question from different angles. But here's the angle Prabhupada came in on during a rather famous incident in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Iron City, home of Iron City Beer. That's really Kali Yuga. Even the beer is named after the Iron Age. So in 1972, we had a visit from Siddhasarupananda Goswami, a rookie, fresh sannyasi from Hawaii. And a year earlier, he had surrendered all his people to Prabhupada because he was using Prabhupada's books to preach. And then he decided he had to come clean and reveal where he was getting all this information. So he took all his people to Prabhupada and they all came. So in the 72 spring, the president and the vice president of the temple in Pittsburgh were former Siddhasarup followers, and they invited Siddha to come and speak. All well and good. So anyway, we advertised that the Swami's coming, and we plastered posters all over Shadyside section of Pittsburgh. And so Maharaj came, and then on two successive evenings he spoke. And what did he speak on? Where we came from. Dum da dum dum. So he was sitting on this purple cushion and he was stroking a tambora and a spotlight on his head. He had it all, you know, it was all very well orchestrated. So it was all about how we all fell from the Brahma Jyoti, right? Somehow or other, I was the only person who raised my hand each night and said, Maharaj, how can you say this? Prabhupada says on the record, the old happening record, originally we are all Krishna conscious entities, but due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by material atmosphere. Originally we're all Krishna conscious living entities. So the Maharaj stroked a few strokes on the tambora and said with a beatific smile on his face, yes, it will take time to understand these things. I didn't buy it. Anyway, after Maharaj left, the whole temple became divided into two camps. We fell from Krishna, we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. And each camp, of course, using Prabhupada's books to buttress their position. This went on for weeks. Debates every day. To his great credit, Siddhasarupananda Goswami wrote us a letter 6 weeks later. And he said, I have to apologize for my preaching. Srila Prabhupada heard what I was preaching, how we all fell from the Brahma Jyoti. And so he called me to where he was in California, and he said, you have to study our books for 6 months and not travel and preach. Prabhupada told me the defect in my preaching, and this speaks exactly to your question, the defect in my preaching was that I was denying the free will of the soul to be with Krishna or to not be with Krishna. That is who we are. That is what our individuality and our free will comes down to. We can choose to serve Krishna lovingly and willingly, or we can choose to serve him the other way, in prison. It's like Prabhupada gives the example. You may say you don't care about the law, but then you're going to have to obey the law in prison. Because we're chaste to our founder Acharya, this is our understanding. We were there in the spiritual sky with the Lord, but because we're tiny, we have the capacity to do this. So we did it. And so Prabhupada would say, when people would ask this question, better you ask, how do I, better you understand your position, admit that you made a mistake, and come on back, get out. And that, I'm afraid, is the only question I have time for. So please forgive me, because I have to leave. But thank you for the question, and now we have to get out. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.